I do appreciate an interest in your prayers. I appreciate the good lesson that's been brought before us. You know, we never know when we're talking to a little child of God. Last year, I had the experience of meeting with a businessman I dealt with many times, very successful, in his office at, no exaggeration, almost as big as this room. And he told me, he said, "I've got cancer." And we talked about it after we finished our business. He's a very private man, so private, he wouldn't even go out to lunch. He'd send out. He would not go out and mix with other people. Very private. Would not reveal very much of himself. But that day when he said, "I've got cancer," I said, "Randy, do you mind if, can we pray together?" That'd be real strange. He said, "I guess it'll be all right." And we prayed. I sort of reached over and put my hand on his, and I could just feel the tension in his body. But we prayed. And when we finished, he said, "I'm going to tell you something I never told anybody before." He said, "When my daddy died and I was a little boy, I was out walking in the fields." He said, "I felt so horrible, so alone." And he said, "I had an experience there with God that day." He said, I don't really know what it was, but I had an experience with God." He said, "I've never forgotten that." I thought, and I said, "I think I know what that experience with God was." I said, "I've seen it evidenced in your life, in the fruit of your life." He had a drawer behind his desk, and he'd pull out, and if he heard one of the people out in the factory, their child was sick, or they'd been in the hospital, or they're having some problems, he'd call them in, and he'd open that drawer and get out money and give to them, and sometimes a lot of money. He bore the fruits of the Spirit. You just never know when you're dealing with a child of God. And he later gave me permission, and his wife did, to share that story at his funeral late last year. And his mother said, "I've never knew anything about that." We never know. We never know. And we're afraid sometimes to let our light shine, as this brother has taught us here. We're afraid we may get embarrassed. We're afraid we may offend. But we need to let our light shine, not in a boisterous way, not in an arrogant way, not in a "I'm going to shove the truth down your throat" way, but in a compassionate and caring way. That's the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that we've got to deny ourselves. What did the Lord say? "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see, we have to deny ourselves. This old nature of ours can get pretty restrained sometimes, can't it? We're afraid. I appreciate the lesson. There's so many things that cross my mind. I'll touch on just a few minutes some of the brother mentioned, the Lord's example of prayer in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, beginning in the 8th verse, the Lord said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." This is an example. This manner, pray ye. And in that prayer, he acknowledges the Father in heaven. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." He tells us how to pray. You know, you and I want a week's worth, or a month's worth, or a year's worth, or a whole lifetime's worth, you know, for comfort and security. But he said, we're to pray for our daily bread. Trusting in God to provide for us. And looking to God that has all power in heaven and earth. And then he said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of the other gospel writers uses the words trespasses, talking about sins. Forgive us as we forgive others. Can you really pray that in sincerity? God, will you forgive me as I forgive others? Forgiveness. You know, the Lord, after He goes through this example of prayer, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and forever. Amen. And then Jesus says, and by the way, do you know who He's talking to here? He's gone up into the mountain with Him. He was said, and His disciples came unto Him. He's teaching His disciples. And as He taught them, He says, after the example of prayer, amen, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's pretty strong language. Not as strong as some people make it out to be. But that's not talking about eternal life.
That's right.
That's talking about our fellowship with God. That's not talking about our sonship, but it's about our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another. And that peace that we can know within and following after the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the book of Philippians, Paul was inspired to write these words. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's talking about forgiveness here. That's the point that I would like to dwell on for just a few minutes. Forgiving. Someone's observed that forgiving sure is a lot harder to practice than some sermons make it out to be. And I'll have to agree with that. Our nature is not, this old fallen, depraved nature of ours is not a forgiving nature. You ever watch kids on the playground? One of them slap, hit the other one, trip them. What do? They get up and say, that's all right. No, they want to go back and do them the exact same way. That's our old fallen nature to get even.
That's right.
And you know, there are religions in this world that appeal to the fallen nature of man and not to the spiritual nature. Last Sunday morning, I picked up one of the young men that there's two families that grew up in the Muslim culture that attend our church. And I picked up one of the young men, and as we were going to church, I asked him. I said, Nano, he's 14 and got the wisdom of a 30-year-old. He's seen people shot. He's seen his friends run over by trucks. He's lived on the streets of Baghdad. He's dealt with Catholics, neighbors, and he's dealt with Muslims, but primarily grew up in a Muslim society. And I said, Nano, and by the way, don't be embarrassed for him. I asked him if I could share our discussion, and he says, sure. I said, Nano, you know, the Christian religion teaches forgiveness and overlooking when others might offend or hurt us. I said, do you agree? He said, yeah, I agree with that. I said, but my impression of the Muslim religion is that it teaches getting even, that it teaches those things which really appeal to the natural man or to the flesh. I said, that's sort of my observation. I said, what do you think about that? He said, I think you're right. I think you're right. And you stop and think about the honor killings. What is that based in? Pride. Think about the what lies in store for the Muslim man when he reaches his eternal home. What do they teach? That group of virgins that are waiting for him there. You can take example after example. And the teachings appeal to the natural man. But the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and teachings and the principles like forgiveness appeal to the spiritual man.
Amen.
Jesus said, we're to forgive one another. And it's not easy to forgive. And as I said, this isn't talking about eternal heaven. We're saved. God's Word tells us in the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter, that we are justified, and we're justified by the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What shall we say? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We're justified. You know, the Ephesian letter tells us in the first chapter, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're justified. This isn't about eternal life. It's not about keeping eternal life. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But it's about our fellowship and about our walking together and following after the example of our Lord and Savior here in life. Our salvation, our eternal salvation, that is something that solely is of the Lord. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 1, where it speaks about the Lord? It says, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When He had by Himself purged our sins. You know that word by Himself? I see a dual meaning there. He purged our sins by offering Himself, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He walked the winepress alone by Himself. It didn't take the Lord in a minister. It didn't take the Lord in baptism. It didn't take the Lord in anything that you or I have done or can do to purge our sins. That is the work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes. And we belong to Him. And we're His forever. And nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But yet there's a walk that we're to walk in this life.
That's right.
As we draw near to God, and He'll draw near to us. The Scriptures say, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. He'll draw nigh to you. That's talking about our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another. And forgiveness is an important part of that. It doesn't come natural to us. It's something that we do. The word forgive means to release and to let it go. Release it and let it go. You know, the Lord taught a great lesson about this over in the 18th chapter of Matthew. And we'll go there in a minute, but I'm reminded of the story of Robert E. Lee. After the Civil War and Arlington, his home, had been taken, they made sure he had never come back there after the battle of, I believe it was Bull Run. They buried 1,800 federal casualties, their bodies there, at the home place of Robert E. Lee. So it became now Arlington Cemetery. It never really belonged to Robert E. Lee, by the way. I always thought it did, but George Washington, when he married Martha, she had a son by a prior marriage. And George Washington adopted her Martha's grandson. And that grandson built Arlington as a monument to George Washington. And General Robert Lee married the daughter of that grandson. And he was the custodian of Arlington. And he rebuilt it. But it was taken away from him. It was a beautiful place. And one day after the war, knowing what had happened to Arlington and what General Lee had gone through, he was visiting a plantation. And the plantation owner took him out and showed him some of her large, beautiful trees. And some of them had been, the limbs were shot off and the trunks all split up. She was showing him what the Federals had done with their artillery to her trees. She just knew he would sympathize with her and maybe say something nasty about those Yankees. But Robert E. Lee, that had lost so much himself, looked at that tree, those mangled, dead trees and trunks. And he turned and he says, cut it down, dear madam, and forget about it. And you know, in life, that's so often, that's what you and I need to do.
That's right.
Forgiveness, the principles of forgiveness is taught in God's Word. There is a joy that comes from that. And it'll help us in every aspect of our life. You can use the principles of forgiveness on the job. You use it in your marriage. If you don't use it in your marriage, it won't survive.
That's
I'm telling
right.
you that right now. If you won't use it in your church fellowship won't survive
right,
either.
Right.
You must forgive. There will be offenses, and we're to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus gave the example. There was a time when some of the disciples, they got pretty proud, I guess, because they began to argue among themselves, and they asked the Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's greatest? You know, and he began to set a little child before them and told them that except they become, he says, except you be converted and become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they continued, and the Lord continued on as he taught them on that occasion and said in the 15th verse of Matthew 18, more if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. When offenses come, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. You know, I don't get involved in divorces, but I get involved with a lot of couples that are close to divorce. And I do all that I can to try to help them resolve their differences and continue on and keep their commitment that they made when we marry in a godly way. We commit to each other for life. Not for as long as we show love, not for as long as we're happy, not for as long as things are like we want them to be, but it's a commitment for life. That's a godly commitment of marriage. And one of the problems I notice so often is a lack of communication. Jesus said, if you're hurt, go talk about it. Don't let it grow. It'll grow and it'll fester and it'll become worse and worse. But talk about it. Not attack, but talk about it. And if you talk, and if you, what do you say? If you you can gain your brother. There's something to be gained from that. But yeah, and then Peter, as Jesus talked about this, and he went through some of the things that are to be done with public offenses, and we won't go into all of that. But then Peter said to him, well, Lord, how many times am I to forgive my brother? Seven times? Lord said, no, 70 times seven, 490 times. You know what I think the Lord is telling us there? I think the Lord is telling us there that those offenses that hurt and that cut and that are painful to us, we can forgive, but you know, sometimes something happens, something's said, something's done, that it comes up again in our minds. It's in our memories. The pain even pops up again. And I believe the Lord's telling us, when it comes up and when it comes up and when it comes up, you just keep on forgiving. You keep on forgiving. That's what He's telling us to do. And my wife's not here tonight, so I usually get in trouble when I get off on gender, you know. But it's been my experience that women have a more difficult time forgiving and dealing with forgiveness than men. And I think there's a reason for that. Now see, when you fellows go home tonight, your wife may say, I can't believe he said that, but when I go home, my wife's not with me. I don't have to hear. I can't believe you said that. God blessed women to be the nurturers, you know. Kids fall down. Daddy says, oh, they're all right. Wipe the dirt off. Leave them alone. Mom said, no, I believe, you know, the arm may be broke or something here. I believe they've got a fever. They watch the details, don't they? You know, I learned a big lesson on that last Saturday. My wife says, would you go to the grocery store? Gave me a big, long list. I handed it back to her. I said, hey, add on there two or three things. I got to the grocery store. I reached in my pocket. The list wasn't there. I searched around. And I remember, oh, I gave it back to her. You know. And so I pulled out my phone earpiece and I called her. I said, hey, I forgot that grocery list. And I said, can you just tell me? And it was a long list. Can you tell me over the phone? And she says, well, yeah. She said, where are you? I said, well, I just came through the front door of this grocery store where usually when I go here and get something, I go there and get something, I go here and look for something. And she says, all right, now when you turn to the right, you're going to get your grapefruit right there on the right. I said, yeah. She said, you see those scales right down there? Yes, well, the eggplant's right there by those scales. And as she carried me home and got the vegetables, she said, all right, now when you turn to the right, I want so-and-so. It's right on the top shelf, and the color of the jar is this. And when you go out the end of the aisle now, the meat is there, turned to the left, and the ground beef is right there on the left, and here's how much of that I want. And we went all the way through the store like that. That's the way I'm going to shop from now on, I tell you. She knew where everything was. Why? Women watch the detail, and they pick up the detail, don't they? Right. You know, you get off the phone, the husband's off the phone after a 30-minute conversation. What'd they say? Oh, they're all doing fine. And the wife gets off the phone. Well, what did they have to say? Well, they went shopping yesterday, and they thought they were going to get a blue dress, but when they got there and looked at them, they decided that maybe a red dress would be better, and so they did get the red dress, so she's going to go out with Billy Bob, they're going to so-and-so movie, and after that, they're going to go eat at so-and-so, you know, detail. And because God, I believe, blessed women to be the nurturers, primary nurturers of the children, they watch the detail, they pick up the detail. And I think it's harder for women sometimes to forgive because they pick up so much detail. But we are to forgive. Jesus went on to say, after Peter said, how many times? The Lord says, 7 times, 70 times. And then he gave a parable. He gave the parable of a king and a servant and a fellow servant. And he said, a king took account of his servants. And he came to the first servant who owed him. And it tells the money there. It's in a currency we no longer use, but it's in the millions. Right. And he said, pay me all you owe me. And he said, I don't have anything to pay with. And the king said, well, I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children and sell you into slavery. That's how they collected back in that day. And that servant said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt of millions. And then that forgiven servant went to a fellow servant and said, pay me what you owe me. And the fellow servant owed him a couple of bucks at most, you know. And that fellow servant made the same request. And he said, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. But he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And Jesus in the parable says, when the other fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry and they came and told their Lord all that was done. And the Lord said, thou wicked servant, he said, should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Here's our motive for forgiveness. Our Lord has had great compassion on us. I said recently at Friendship Church, and some of the people got a shocked look. I said, if you knew all the sins that the Lord has forgiven me of, you'd probably walk out of here right now. The Lord has forgiven us of so much. What a great debt we owed, a debt that we could not pay. The Lord by Himself, the Lord alone, has redeemed us from the curse of the law to the praise of the glory of His grace, the Scriptures say, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He has done all of that for us. And what a little matter it is compared to what's been forgiven us when we forgive another.
Right.
What a small matter it is in comparison. But do you know you and I will never appreciate the forgiveness that we have of God as greatly, as much as when we extend forgiveness to others. And then don't wait. You know, forgiveness is such a good thing. We ought to make it easy for people to forgive us. It's good when we know and learn that we've offended someone. Go to them and make it easy for them to forgive. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry that you hurt their feelings. You may not understand why it hurt their feelings, what you did. You may not understand how it was offensive to them. But if the fact is it was offensive to them, let them know you're sorry and ask for their forgiveness. And don't wait till someone tells you that they are sorry before you give them forgiveness.
Right.
The word forgiveness means to loose and let go, and it means with graciousness, with grace. Forgiveness, that if we practice forgiveness as our God practiced forgiveness to us, you know, it's given even when it's not deserved. Which of us deserved any part of the forgiveness that God, by His grace and His mercy, has bestowed upon us and forgiven us of our sin debt? What an act of thankfulness and worship of God when we extend forgiveness to one another. You build relationships. You strengthen fellowship. You worship God. And you please God, you and I do, when we forgive one another, following the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the kind of sacrifices that God is well pleased with, following His example. I don't think there's any time that our walk in this life is more like the walk of our Lord than the times in life when we extend forgiveness to others. I thank you for your good attention.
Amen, brother.